What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Little technology problem with, well, on my end that I couldn't figure it out, but we're working through that. And I'm going to go, as Joe knows, I kind of use my notes and visuals as a crutch. So I'm going to use some of them via our Facebook page, but I'm just going to go with it today. So we are live from Youngstown Studio. Today, we are going to talk about billionaires. We're going to talk about Elon Musk. We're going to talk about, you know how we usually do a top five list. We're going to talk about the top five billionaires, but more specifically, Elon Musk and why that's important. We're going to get into a little Mike Tyson talk today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cavs. A little bit about the NBA playoffs. We're going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians. We're going to talk about the New York Yankees, most specifically their fans. We're going to talk about Miles Straw, the Browns, and Baker Mayfield. And if you remember where Baker Mayfield played his college football at, was the University of Oklahoma. And at the University of Oklahoma for many, many years, Bob Stoops was the head coach there. And actually, in fact, won their last game for them after Lincoln Riley left for USC. I have right here a signed autograph football by Bob Stoops, who is from right here in Youngstown, Ohio, and Cardinal Mooney graduate. He, again, you know, signed this ball. We are auctioning this off, and I say auctioning, it's free to anyone that wins. All you got to do is go to our Facebook page. It is pinned at the top of the 330 Sports Show page. And you can find that right there. All you got to do is make sure you like the page and just leave a comment. That way, that's easy for me to make sure I get your name in there and entered. So, again, you could win this Bob Stoops autographed football. And all you got to do is enter by liking the 330 Sports Show page and leave a comment. So, let's transition from Bob Stoops in Oklahoma to the former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from the University of Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield. Now, Joe, were you able to see the statue from over the weekend?
The statue, yes. It was awful looking.
I'm going to go try to find this image real quick. And I want your guys' opinions on this. So I'm going to bring up the picture. I don't know if that's too big.
Yeah, get it smaller again.
All right. 1 second here. Is that a little bit better? All right, so Joe's going to bring this up on the screen in a second, but I want your guys' thoughts on that a little bit better. Let me find it for you. There we go. Kind of. It's a work in progress here. All
right, that's looking better.
So Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma brought him back this weekend for homecoming weekend in Norman. They brought him home for a homecoming for their spring game and unveiled a statue. If you saw this statue, it looks absolutely nothing like Baker Mayfield. A lot of people out there saying it looks like, I think his name's Robert Patrick in Terminator 2. So maybe we'll bring an image up of him in a little bit. But if you look closely, it really looks like it has two right feet as well. So very interesting there. Our old friend Baker, you know, obviously congratulations to him. He's probably, if not in the top three most beloved athletes that have come out of the University of Oklahoma for Sooner Nation down there. But had to have a little fun with that. That is probably the worst statue. I know Ronaldo had a really bad one a few years back, but this one was pretty bad. So take a look at that, and that's a face made for radio, or a face only a mother could love. So but in all seriousness, congratulations to Baker Mayfield, who is still a member of the Cleveland Browns, making $18.9 million going into next season. Now, it is draft week. Joe, question for you.
Yes.
Will Baker Reagan Mayfield be a member of the Cleveland Browns this time next week?
I think he's going to be right up to the deadline, right up to the draft trade.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
For some picks.
And I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I'm thinking Baker Mayfield. Now, if he was as big as that statue, yeah, and the Browns are easily getting a first rounder for him. But I think Baker will be traded. This is just my opinion. And by the way, we're gonna do a draft night show. I'll let you know the details on that soon. But at probably 7 o'clock on Thursday, we'll be doing a show. But Baker, I have a feeling, is going to get traded on Friday. Now, Thursday night is the first round. I think a lot of quarterback needy teams, Seattle, Carolina, Detroit's kind of got a guy, but not really. And if you really think about it, in the grand scheme of things, $18.9 million, yeah, to the common everyday person is a ton of money. But to a starting quarterback in the NFL, that's pretty much average. So you're paying the top end guys, you know, your Mahomes, your Rodgers, your Wilsons, your, you know, Deshaun Watson, you know, people like that are going to be in the 40s, Josh Allen. But your low end guys are still making, you're like Mitch Trubisky is going to be making $12 million this year. You know, just other guys, unless they're on their rookie deal, are going to be making a lot of money. So that's a quarterback, and, you know, that's a team investment, basically. You know what I'm saying? So if the Browns can take someone to take a good portion of that money off their books, they might have to eat a little bit of it, of the 18. Let's say they, this is my hypothetical. Let's say the Browns eat 8 million of that. So, you know, the other team's on the hook for roughly, what, $11 million? That's a pretty good deal for a potential starting quarterback that has won, has been to the playoffs. Obviously a rocky season last year, but I don't know. So my thoughts are Baker Mayfield, I'm going to say, gets traded Friday. And I don't think the Browns are going to get a ton for him. You know, I think if you traded him this time last year, you're probably getting a first, you know, or a minimum, a second and a future, you know, first round pick maybe. This year, I think at most, you're probably going to get a third. And that's probably even too high. I think you're getting a middle round pick, a third, a fourth, a fifth. Or here's another thought. You take on another player and send your second round pick for Baker Mayfield, such as a DK Metcalf, such as I don't think the 49ers are going to want to bring in another quarterback, but DK Metcalf is a guy that we've heard his name, you know, kind of bantered about. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But Joe thinks he's getting traded. I honestly think it's like literally, you know, not as a cop out. I think it's like a 50-50 proposition. I really think he could be on the roster, but I could honestly see him getting traded very easily too. Well, so
they must have got a new credit card, because every time I think they're out of cap space, they put down some money,
yep,
or a commitment to another player. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Exactly.
I think they think that all those years that they were under cap space, that they could save that up and put it in a separate account, but that's not quite how it works.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, the Browns have done their spending this offseason. Mm-hmm. And I think there's still more to come. I think, it would not surprise me if Jadeveon Clowney's re-signed here soon. It would not surprise me if they go out and get, possibly bring Jarvis back, possibly another receiver, you know, not on a huge deal, but, you know, we'll see. But, and if you could unload some of that cap money, that's basically, you know, making a trade right there to bring in, to free up some of that money.
Is
to
that
bring in a next player.
That we end up paying so many people's payrolls, even when they're not on the team anymore. Is that pretty common in the league? I feel like we do it a lot.
Not necessarily. The cap is very, it's very hard to explain. Like, I don't fully understand it. That's why you have these Harvard guys and, you know, these financial experts in their fields, you know, literally the best people in their fields doing this work. So I think the Browns have been very smart with their spending. They have been very smart with, you know, taking on like Amari Cooper. $20 million for him right now seems like a bargain compared, sure, to what some of these guys are making, you know, with you know, just with some of these contracts, it's ridiculous. Tyreek Hill, now wide receiver has suddenly become the most expensive position next to quarterback in the NFL. So I don't know. We're gonna see, but I really trust in the Browns front office and their cap management and what they're gonna do. Eventually, that bill's gonna come due, and there's gonna be not as shuffling. Much wiggle
they
room.
They don't yes. not do it. They just shuffle things
exactly.
around.
Exactly. Like Austin Hooper, his money is still on the books until June 1st. June 1st, an extra $9 million comes off the books. So, you know, by cutting him, that saved the team $9 million, whereas it would have had to pay him like around the 10.2 range. Now it's going to, you know, have 1.2 of dead cap money, which again is beyond my pay grade because, you know, I'm not trained to do that. But the Browns are going to save a lot of money with that move. So we'll see.
So
we'll
now
see.
Do you with the Clowney thing, do you pay up for Clowney's a sure thing versus taking someone in that 34?
That's a great question. I think with the Browns, you know, and again, if they're going to have, you know, we can say, look, we can mock this player to them or say, oh, they really like this player. No one truly knows unless you're in Berea, in those war rooms and whatnot. But I think if the Browns are to sign Jadeveon Clowney, I almost think they're going to go wide receiver at 44. And I could see them trading up a couple spots. I don't see them trading into the first round, but I could see them trading into the beginning of the second round. So I think Thursday night, you might start hearing some rumors, some speculation, but no one truly knows except for Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, you know, and the brass of the Cleveland Browns. So I think if I had to put my money on it, I'm going to say wide receiver. But if they're unable to sign Clowney, then yeah, they, you know, you might want to get after that position and then either try to get a free agent wide receiver or draft one, you know, with your third round picks. So
from what I hear, wide receiver is pretty thick of talent this year.
I would say the wide receiver position is almost 20 deep this year with players, but you're going to start seeing guys fly off the board. I'm thinking like there could be as many as 8 or 9 wide receivers in the first round. And it's, there's, you know, I think once you get past those first 5 or 6 guys, your Garrett Wilson, your Chris Olave, your Jameson Williams, guys like that. Once you get past Drake London's another one. Once you get past those guys, I think it's a little bit more of an unfinished product and the potential is there, but there's also a floor to that potential too. So what they end up doing, I don't know, but we'll see. So here's what I was going to ask you too, Joe. Now, just off the field aside, we have Deshaun Watson. It's a little weird to not have a first round pick this year. Like this used to be our Super Bowl.
It was.
You know, yeah. It really was.
I used to watch the mock drafts. I used to be really paying attention. Yeah. Now I don't really care.
Like I still love the mock draft process. And you know, the thing with the mock draft is everyone has an opinion on it. And but at the end of the day, no one goes back and checks to see how right or wrong you were.
Especially in 96 picks. I mean, every pick, it gets worse and worse chances that you were even close.
That's why I say just stick to the first round. Stick to the first round or maybe throw a dart at the dartboard and see who's going to land at 44 for the Browns.
Yep.
So speaking of that, would you rather have Deshaun Watson, you know, again, off the field issues aside, right. Or would you rather have 3 first round draft picks?
I'll take Deshaun.
Okay, I agree.
For sure,
I
talent,
think
you know?
Exactly. You're getting a for sure thing. And I'm going to show you a list here. And this list is incredible. And when I say incredible, I mean incredibly bad. So we're going to go back to 1999. Some of you may remember that. But 1999 is when the Browns returned from, you know, their hiatus off of, out of the NFL. And you might remember they had the first overall draft pick. They took Tim Couch out of Kentucky. Honestly, I don't think Couch was a bad quarterback. I really don't. But he did not have a lot to work with. So basically you're throwing a good chef into a Taco Bell kitchen. Let's just, you know, say it like that. So Tim Couch really not given a fair shake. The Browns had a bad season. Next year, they come back, draft Courtney Brown. First round pick, first overall out of Penn State. Injuries kind of derailed his career. So Tim Couch really didn't pan out. Courtney Brown didn't pan out. Gerard Warren didn't really pan out. William Green, he had one great memorable run that you might remember Jim Donovan on the radio. Run, William, run. That kind of got the Browns into the playoffs in that 2002 year, but really didn't have a great career. Jeff Fain was an okay player out of Notre Dame, 21st overall. Kellen Winslow Jr., a lot of people will remember that draft specifically because there was a guy named Ben Roethlisberger that went to pick after him from Ohio that the Browns did not take and their rival Steelers did. And he went on to torment the Browns for, you know, what, how many years? 17 years? Ridiculous. Braylon Edwards. Braylon Edwards is another guy that had one great year. And you were just thinking this guy skyrocket with potential, but just didn't pan out. Cameron Wembley, bust. Then the next year, the Browns had two first round draft picks in 2007. They nailed it. Their first time nailing a pick since they came back. So look at that. Eight years of picks before they finally truly nailed one. You get a Hall of Fame player in Joe Thomas. But then they follow that up with another bust in Brady Quinn in that same first round in 2007. So you nail one, you bust out on another one. 2008, you did not have a first round pick because you traded up in the Brady Quinn trade. 2009, Alex Mack was a nice pick for the Browns. 2010, Joe Hayden, again, pretty solid pick, still playing to this day. He's going into his 12th season. Unfortunately, the Browns let him go, signs with the rival Steelers, but Steelers just recently let him go. So I'm not exactly sure if he signed yet, but we'll see. But I think so far, so we're 11 years in and the Browns have nailed three first round picks, at least by my perspective, in Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, Joe Hayden. Oh, and then the early 2010s were a very, very dry desert of talent for the Browns. Phil Taylor, remember him? Big dude. Just didn't make it. Trent Richardson, Alabama. So nice. I really had high hopes for him.
He was a beast.
Great running back out of Alabama. Did not pan out. They did turn around and get a first round pick for him from Indianapolis. But I don't remember who they ended up taking. But that was another bust pick. And then another bad quarterback who was like 38 years old, Brandon Whedon, at Oklahoma State. Flag. And again, look at these picks. Brady Quinn, the 22nd pick. Brandon Whedon, the 22nd pick. And you know who else was his 22nd pick? Just a couple years later, Johnny Manziel. Mm. So the Browns, please never pick 22nd again. Ever again. A few other misses. The greatest name of all time, Barkevious Mingo. And then probably the worst draft of all time for the Browns, at least in the first round, was 2014. That was Justin Gilbert, who was an absolutely freak athlete, but didn't do anything on the football field. Totally bust. Big bust there. And then Johnny Manziel, again, not a great pick. Go ahead.
Mingo was probably, it broke my heart the most because that dude didn't have a lack of skill set.
Mm-hmm.
The dude would blow past he'd blow past the quarterback. He'd have so much momentum. I'd watch him just zip right by him. So he had the skill set.
Yeah.
He just didn't know how to tether his speed.
Exactly. And I mean, and then again, it's the kind of the chicken or the egg thing. Does the player not become good because of the coaching? Or, sometimes it's like, hey man, you're in the NFL too. It's up to you.
Yep.
So again, you can scheme guys up and get things done. But if you continually are making the same mistake, then a little bit of that has to fall on the player. But like you said, freak athlete.
Yeah.
But
both Richardson and Mingo, they were, you cannot, they're not parallel in skill set.
Exactly.
Just couldn't get it figured out. Even Gilbert, same thing.
Exactly. And all these guys, they're obviously first round picks for a reason. They're
right.
Very talented, very skill oriented, but just don't get the job done. Let's look at a couple more of these guys. Danny Shelton, big dude out of Washington, defensive tackle, did not pan out. Cam Irving did not pan out. I think they ended up trading him to the Chiefs. Corey Coleman, first wide receiver picked in that year's draft in 2016.
Fast dude, but
and,
man.
And if you remember, 2016, or actually it was 2017, they go into Pittsburgh, they're 0-15, and they go in, and the last week of the season, they had a chance. It was DeShone Kizer thrown to Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman drops it. Would have been a touchdown. Would have got the Browns at least one win, so you're not the, you know, winless team. And there's a picture around that has Kizer and Corey Coleman just like, you know, like this, and with their heads slumped on the bench. And that pretty much
says it all
about that season. But with that season, in 2017 came Myles Garrett. That is an absolute home run for sure pick. You also had Jabril Peppers. Now, I didn't put that as a lock, but he was a really solid player, still a good player. Actually, I think he might have signed with New England this offseason, but he was in that Odell Beckham Jr. trade. David Njoku, I put on there, he's not been an absolute lock, but he's been a really good player who's still under contract with the Browns. So I think that's a good pick. Baker Mayfield in 2018, first overall pick. Now, I didn't put that as a lock, but he, you know, if you take a guy number one overall, you want him to be a superstar. And you look through the draft picks, and Baker Mayfield was certainly not a bust, but he wasn't the guy that we thought he was going to be.
Right.
Surrounded him with a bunch of talent. He got them to the playoffs, or helped as a team get them to the playoffs, but was unable to get the job done. And in this past season, whether it was injuries, whether it was confidence, whether it was a combination of both, just unable to get the job done. And unfortunately, it's kind of been a sour ending to his time in Cleveland, because, you know, again, ended the playoff drought, ended the winless season drought, you know, just stuff like that. And you know, it's a sad ending to a lot of good moments in Cleveland for Baker Mayfield, but we'll see where he ends up. But you know, wish him the best. If he ends up in Carolina and the Browns play him, you know, I'll wish him the best 16 out of 17 games this year, you know, but we'll see where he falls. But Joe and I both said probably about a 50-50 proposition on if he gets traded
or
not.
Do you think this whole process shook his confidence a little bit, where you don't have the same Baker anywhere he ends up?
I think he's always that guy you're going to hear when he's backed into a corner, when the cards are against him, he's going to come out firing, chip on his shoulder, you know, all the cliches,
right?
But I think Baker will be much better than last year, wherever he lands, but I don't think he's ever going to be that superstar guy. I think he's a very solid NFL quarterback that is a middle of the pack guy. So I don't think he's ever going to win you a Super Bowl, but I think if the conditions are right, can he get you to the playoffs? Sure. Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think Baker Mayfield plays in another playoff game the rest of his career?
I don't think he's a starter. Okay. I think his confidence is broken. I think he's going to be a backup, and he's going to serve the rest of his term making the money, but being a backup to somebody else.
I think the best thing for him would be to be traded to Tampa Bay, be Tom Brady's backup for a year, live out your contract, and then, you know, try to catch on with somebody else. Cause you see, like Mitch Trubisky, he's, you know, had his okay moments with the Bears, but really kind of stunk towards the end of his time with the Bears. Goes to Buffalo last year, hardly plays at all. And then it's like almost you forget about those bad moments, and teams are so quarterback desperate that they're going to throw money at you. Look at, you know, so he goes and signs with the Steelers, probably going to be their starting quarterback this year. And they throw $24 million at him. And it's like people have short-term memories. So will Baker catch on somewhere? I think so. But I like your philosophy of go somewhere, be a backup, and see what happens. Yeah. So
now, what do you think of that Denzel Ward contract?
I love it. I here's why I love it. One, there's only like four premium positions in the NFL: quarterback, cornerback, offensive tackle, usually your left tackle or your right tackle, depending on what hand your quarterback is. And what's the one I'm missing? And wide receiver, I think. So those are the premium positions in the NFL. The Browns have paid all those guys, if you think about it. Yep. They've paid Deshaun Watson now. Right. They have paid, let's just call it their offensive line. They've taken care of their offensive line. Now they paid Denzel Ward. You got Greg Newsome on the other side on a rookie deal. And, you know, you got Amari Cooper as one of your big receivers. Maybe you bring in another one. Oh, how am I forgetting Myles Garrett, defensive end. Yep. Defensive end is your other premium position. So, I guess maybe you add five to that with the wide receiver position. So, the Browns have paid those kind of pillar pieces of the team. And I really, really think, that's how you win in the NFL now. So, and they have a good offensive line, good running game, hopefully a great quarterback. I think the wide receiver position could still be improved. Tight end position could still be improved. But offensively, they're not really missing much. And defensively, they got a lot of nice talent. So, and we're talking about the Cleveland Browns in late April. You know what I mean? So they're relevant. It's important. But the NFL has just found its way of making itself relevant no matter what month of the year. I feel like a little bit after the draft, a little bit after the Super Bowl, kind of goes away for a little bit, but then it rears its head again. And, you know, there's been all this crazy off-season news. So it's so interesting.
But I'll tell you, like, it used to be that there were a couple of hot button players. You like had a couple of Dallas players, a couple of Raiders players that no matter what, they're always bringing in NFL in the news, even in the off season. But now pretty much every team has a lightning rod.
Exactly. You're right. You're right. And the Browns definitely have their share, you know, whether, whether it's good or bad and whether it's, you know, they are relevant. And, you know, I think again, Deshaun Watson will, so far he has come in, he's done everything he's supposed to. His teammates seem to really like him. I will say OBJ is probably off the market now because he just listed his, I think it's like $3.5 million home. It's in Columbia Station outside of Cleveland. Looked at some of the pictures today. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. His closet, you walk into, it looks like a shoe store. You would walk into like a Finish Line or a, you know, a Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that. It's pretty impressive.
My clothes like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured you got about what? 25 pairs of Nikes, 25 pairs of dress shoes, 25 pairs of boots.
No, it's those grass cutting shoes. I got a lot of them grass. What were they?
New Balance shoes.
Yes.
You got the dad shoes. I mean, you know,
When
you're a suburban father, you got to have the grass cutting shoes. That is definitely key. Okay. Let's switch from the Browns. We will have plenty of Browns talk on Thursday. We're going to have plenty of Browns news and notes and draft talk. And we'll talk a lot about the Steelers too. We'll talk a lot about the Ravens. We'll talk a lot about the Bengals, all their AFC division foes, but we'll talk some about the Ohio State Buckeyes too, because at the very least there should be 7 Ohio State Buckeyes drafted, definitely 2 going in the first round. So we'll talk about all those on Thursday. Now let's switch to one of the other Cleveland teams, the Guardians. The Guardians, unfortunately, have been this ebb and flow team this year. Started by losing their first 2 games of the season. They come back and just whoop on Kansas City the next 2 games. They go and sweep the Cincinnati Reds. They come home and get swept by the Giants. They come back home, sweep the White Sox. They go on the road, get swept by the Yankees. Joe, did you see what happened in New York this weekend with Miles Straw, the Indians outfield, well, the Guardians outfield, our dollar to swear jar. So Saturday afternoon, Yankees unfortunately walked it off, you know, win 5-4 over the Guardians. But before the last play of the game, an Indians outfielder, Stephen Kwan, who's had a really good start to the season, crashed into the wall trying to make a catch. Mm. They check him for a concussion. He stays in the game. But the fans in the left field bleachers are really giving it to him. Just like, you know, and saying things I can't say, you know, over the air. But you know, his teammate, Miles Straw, came to his defense, literally climbed the wall, got in their faces, and was like, you know, that's enough. Like, it's one thing to boo and to say things. He's like, you can say whatever you want about my family and this and that, but don't cheer a guy when he's hurt, and don't be throwing stuff at us, and don't be saying like derogatory names, you know, in his direction. So he got up, defended his teammate. The next batter for the Yankees comes up, hits a double. The Yankees win the game, walk off, but it was in the right center field alley. The Yankees fans then are just pummeling the Indians outfield, another dollar, with beer cans, with baseballs, different things. An umpire got hit with something. The Yankees players actually had to come out to right center field and be like, literally stop. And it was an embarrassment for their fandom, for the organization, for Major League Baseball. And I don't know, like, what's your thoughts on, like, what should happen, or what should be allowed, or what shouldn't be allowed, you know, things like that. What should be the repercussions for these people that are just like throwing like literally full beer bottles? First of all, you're probably going and spending $15 on that beer and then throwing it at a player, which is just, I mean, that's assault, right? You know, that's assault. It's one thing to say, you know, hey, you suck or whatever like that, but it's a whole other thing to throw a beer bottle or a baseball at someone on the field. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the stadium's policy is if it's a single guy that throws it, you go to jail. I mean, you mm-hmm. get fined and you get disorderly conduct and whatever.
Yeah.
There's cameras all over that place.
Exactly.
It would not be tough to mm-hmm. pick out every one of those idiots, but it's almost like if you do it in mass, they don't waste the time tracking everybody down and making them get those disorderlies and fill in the courtrooms with those mm-hmm. people.
And
I think they should go after them.
I really do too. And like you said, there's cameras everywhere. They're going to be able to pinpoint, and hopefully, you know, those people should not be allowed, at least for the rest of the year, to attend a game. I would say ban them for life, for because sure. if you do that under just a normal circumstance, what happens if, you know, something else happens and you run on the field, or, you know, maybe you're like, hey, I got away with throwing a beer bottle. Maybe I can throw a battery. Maybe right. I can throw, you know, just being a jackass. Like right. people just, if they can get away with one thing, they're going to push it the next time. And, you know, it's not going to take much before a fan runs on the field and hurts someone or throws something extra that really injures a player. And,
well, I'll tell you this, know. Though, like to have once that starts happening, I think the players should step out of it. They
yep.
should leave the field and let the officials handle that. I don't think
players
should take it upon themselves.
I agree. And I will say it's probably tough in the heat of the battle to do that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And if I were Francona, I would have said, you
yep,
know, before that, get off the field,
yep.
you know, and it's like, well,
because then they can clear those people out of the decks and
exactly.
then make it safe for the players again.
So, exactly. Totally. And by responding to them, it's kind of giving them that extra fuel that they're looking
yep.
for. A lot of people just, everybody's got their camera out. Everybody wants to go viral for, you know, being stupid, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it really sure. is. So yeah, let's hopefully Major League Baseball tracks them down and you know, finds them, bans them, whatever. Okay. And last thing I will say, you know, if there's any, I know we have a couple people that are fans of the New York Yankees that watch, you know, again, I'm an Ohio State fan. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, but I know there's asshole Cleveland Browns fans. I know there's asshole Ohio State fans. It's that law of the 10 to 20%. I always say 10% college, 20% pros. So Yankee fans, I know 80% of you out there are awesome, and the 20% are complete assholes.
I'm going to go like 99.
99 to 1.
Yeah, there are two. I've met one maybe that was all right. The rest of them are assholes.
And I mean, I like to consider myself a realist Ohio State Buckeye fan. I act like you've been there before too.
Exactly.
And it's a lot of amateur hour with a lot of these fans and stuff. But, you know, certain people don't represent the whole, but those small minority of people give a black eye to the rest of the fan base. I saw Ohio State was one of the most hated fan bases in all of college sports.
Really?
Well, it's truthfully because, I mean, you got to be good. The other schools up there were Alabama, Tennessee, you know, schools like that. But it's for good reason. Usually one, a team or an organization or a school is hated because they're good. But two, usually you have some connotation or some memory of a fan or an interaction or something that just maybe didn't quite go your way or someone was crossing the line. So, hopefully Yankee fans can act a little bit smarter, a little bit better. And again, I know that doesn't represent the whole fan base.
According to Justin,
according to me, Joe says 99%.
I might be right. They are our rivals. I mean, I feel like they are our rivals. So you're allowed to hate them higher than anybody else, especially when they behave.
And we generally play them pretty well at home, but we do struggle at Yankee Stadium. Yeah,
everybody does. They got $5 billion worth of payroll.
Exactly.
Come on.
And they're always going to throw that. Oh, we got 27 championships in your face too.
So we bought them.
Kind of obnoxious, but wanted to say on a side note, one of my favorite baseball players that's not a member of any Cleveland team is Miguel Cabrera. He recently, I think it was Saturday as well, entered the 3,000 hit club. He is one of the few guys with 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. That list is Hank Aaron, Albert Pujols, Willie Mays, Eddie Murray, Alex Rodriguez, and Rafael Palmeiro.
That's
so
a group right
pretty
there.
Solid list. Was able to do it at home against Colorado Rockies this past weekend. So congratulations.
So of all of the Guardians, old Indians players in the outfield, who do you think handled hecklers the best?
Definitely not Albert Bell. Definitely not Albert Bell. I don't know. I probably Kenny Lofton.
I would have said the exact same thing. Nice guy, couldn't get rattled. Yep. It was
and him. The reason I like, he's always been one of my favorite guys, favorite players of all time. And he just had this kind of like smoothness about him and played the position so well. But I think you can talk back when it matches on the field. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So probably Kenny Lofton would be my answer. You too?
Totally.
Yeah.
100%.
Manny Ramirez, probably because he didn't speak English very well too. So he didn't probably understand a lot of the stuff, but I want to throw this out on a random sports note too. Jay Wright, since our last show, the Villanova men's basketball coach, has recently retired. I had a drink with Jay Wright one time at the name dropping here, but at the Dick Vitale Gala down in Florida, and just an awesome guy. Had probably about a 4 or 5 minute conversation with him and, you know, talked a little bit about basketball, a little bit about Philadelphia, a little bit, you know, just a little bit about life and stuff like that. Great guy. Just let me go over his career with you real quick. He was an assistant at Rochester, which is a D3 school, worked his way up to Drexel and UNLV as an assistant coach, then goes 122-85 at Hofstra University. Then he goes 520-197 at Villanova. He is a two-time NCAA tournament champion, 4 appearances in the Final Four. And if you've ever seen Jay Wright, like, you know, again, you said I got a man crush on Tom Brady. This dude can dress, man. He might have the best suit game in the sports world. So
I think David Njoku is the prettiest NFL player that there is. He is.
Did you imagine we'd be talking about how well a guy dresses and how pretty David Njoku does on the podcast? I definitely did not. So just congratulations to him. But here's why I wanted to bring that point up. He's only 60 years old. So 60 in the coaching world is kind of getting up there, but he's not like ancient. You know what I mean? He could still hypothetically coach for a few more years. So my point being is we've lost Roy Williams, Coach K, and now Jay Wright over the past year in college basketball. What we didn't have before this past couple years was the transfer portal and NIL. Now, these coaches are having to deal with a lot more than they're used to on their plate. So what are your thoughts? Do you think it's maybe just too much? And it's like, you got to recruit these guys, but then you got to re-recruit the guys on your own team. So what do you think about that just in general?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think sports is getting so sophisticated that it's a science, mm-hmm. and it gets above our pay grade super quick. Even mm-hmm. when they're recruiting players out of college,
right.
there's so much that goes into it now. It's easy to lose beat on it.
No doubt. No doubt. Okay. All right. I just think you're asking a lot of these college coaches.
For sure.
And I think anymore, people are saying it's easier to coach at the professional level than it is at the college level. So
do you see these coaches that maneuver and go to the NFL, but then they go back to like a college team?
Urban Meyer. You know, he might be like a lot of these, you know, and I understand it's the challenge a lot of these guys want. You know, you want to win at the highest level. Look at Nick Saban. He went from LSU, went to the Miami Dolphins, was kind of an average coach, goes back to Alabama, greatest college coach of all time. You know, so it's like if you have it made and you have a great staff around you, why would you ever leave?
That's right.
You know, and like Urban Meyer couldn't even make it through his first season, 0-13, gets canned. People say he can't take the heat. People say, you know, it's just some people can't handle losing. And honestly, in the NFL, you're going to lose. There's been one undefeated team in the history of the NFL. You're going to lose, you know, and NFL is set up for teams to be 8-9 or 9-8. That's the way it is. There's going to be some elite teams. There's going to be some bottom teams, but there's going to be a whole bunch of teams in the middle. So we shall see. All right. Last basketball thought here too, before we get into the top five list. Joe, I know I'm running a little bit late here, but
every time you say something, I ask some kind of question. I'm the one who's delaying
though.
This.
That's fine. Hey, hey, we haven't done a live show in a week, right. So we're making up for lost time. All right. So I put out there my NBA award winners who I thought would win. So far, I've been right on three. I've been wrong on two, and there's one more to go. So MVP, I have as Joel Embiid. He has that award has not been announced. Joel Embiid, you can see right now he's injured and not 100%. He's struggling a little bit, and so are the Sixers. They're going to have a hard time closing one more game out on the Raptors. But I think Embiid is going – well, I think he should be the MVP, but I think it will probably go to Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. I had the Rookie of the Year as Evan Mobley for the Cavs. Should have won, in my opinion. Unfortunately, Scotty Barnes of the Toronto Raptors wins the Rookie of the Year award. Sixth Man of the Year, I got that one right. Tyler Hero of the Miami Heat wins that one. Kevin Love, you know, came in. I don't know if he came in second or third, but Kevin Love was a finalist for that. Marcus Smart, I had as the Defensive Player of the Year. He won that award. I did have the Most Improved Player as Darius Garland of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Maybe a little homer pick, but I legitimately thought he would win that award. Ja Morant, who was great last year, won it, even though, you know, he really took his game to another level this year. And Monty Williams, I had as the Coach of the Year of the Phoenix Suns. He wins that award as well. I'm going to have a completely separate show for you on the Cleveland Cavaliers, a wrap-up show to wrap up their season. So I'll have that for you out sometime this week. I'll get that to Joe, and he'll put that out for me sometime this week. But real quick look at the NBA playoffs. Tonight, you have the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. Miami leads 3-1. I like the Heat to advance in that. You also have on Thursday, you got the Sixers and the Raptors. This is going to be tough. I do think Philadelphia moves on, but I don't think they're getting past Miami. Then you got Milwaukee and Chicago. I think Milwaukee closes out that series on Wednesday. The Boston Celtics have already eliminated the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets were the Caesar Sportsbook favorite to win the NBA title before the season started. They are already eliminated. The Celtics move on. I do like the Celtics coming out of the East to get to the NBA Finals. In the West, you have Phoenix, the number one seed, taking on New Orleans, who was the play-in tournament winner. That series is tied at 2 games apiece. They play tonight at game 5 in Phoenix. So we'll see how that goes. Their leading scorer, Devin Booker, has a hamstring injury, will not be able to play. So that opens the door for New Orleans to come back in that and maybe take a 3-2 series lead. Phoenix, by far, has had the best season in the NBA, but is struggling right now to get out of the first round. Dallas and Utah, that game will be game 6, will be on Thursday night. Dallas leads that series 3-2. I like Dallas to win in 6 and move on. I like the Warriors to win and close out the Denver Nuggets tomorrow night in game 5. And I like the Memphis Grizzlies to win in 6 games over the Minnesota Timberwolves. That game 5, is tonight in Memphis. So I like Phoenix still, as long as they can get out of the first round and get Devin Booker healthy. I like them to come out of the West, and I like Phoenix to defeat the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. I may have to revisit that one if Devin Booker does not make it back in time. I'm going to bring up a picture here, Joe, in a second, but I have to share this with you. I have to share this. Like, we can't show you the video right now, but Mike Tyson got in a little altercation over the weekend. And with this obnoxious, I'm going to just say, go Google the video, Mike Tyson airplane. And this kid, probably drunk on the plane, looks like a total D-bag, is just harassing Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson, if you mess with Mike Tyson, you harass him. And Mike Tyson gave him many opportunities to stop, but he pummeled him. And you know what? That kid deserved it. That kid deserved to get his ass kicked. I don't condone violence, but I mean, can you put that picture up real quick? Look at that kid's face. Is that not the most Mason Rudolph punchable face you've ever seen? Totally. Look at that piece of trash.
Totally.
So to that guy, and he just said later on, he's just trying to get his autograph. There's a whole video of him harassing him. So I hope that guy gets what he deserves, which he kind of did. I think Mike Tyson did him a favor, because you act like that around the wrong person, you're going to get your ass kicked even worse when there's not an air marshal on the flight.
Pick Mike Tyson.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So, yeah, there's a lot of people, if I'm going to get in an altercation yes. with, before Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's going to come about, how many people are in the world? About 7 billion or so. He's going to be about 6.8 billion deep in that list. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, not messing with Mike Tyson. All right. And finally, the news just went down of Elon Musk buying Twitter. Joe, I know you've seen this. Mm-hmm. Joe is a huge proponent of Tesla and yes. SpaceX. And doesn't he own the Boring Company too? Which, what is that exactly?
They dig tunnels.
Okay.
So if you put cars underground, they, like in Las Vegas, they did, sure. they did a 1 mile tunnel from the expo center to the airport.
Okay. All right. So, part of his legacy, part of his portfolio, if you will, Elon Musk is worth, and I wrote out the numbers, because when you see the numbers written out with that many zeros behind it, $273 billion with a B dollars. And now the newest owner of Tesla, now, or not Tesla, Twitter, another company that with a T. Now there was some back and forth with Twitter, where they, you know, he was buying up stocks. I think he owned about close 10%. To 10% of Twitter, yeah. And Twitter was like, oh, this is not necessarily good, 'cause he's tweeting out things that maybe we don't like. Let's bring him on the board of directors. And then he backed off of that. So, and then I don't want to call it a hostile takeover, but kind of, it was a hostile takeover.
By definition.
So what, by $43 billion?
$43 billion.
So you're the Elon Musk expert. You were just in Austin, Texas at the Tesla facility. So give me your thoughts and opinions on the whole.
The dude's a little compulsive. So mm-hmm. once he decides he's going to do something, it might take him a little while, mm-hmm. but he gets it done.
Yes.
And, you know, I think he's just that type of person that I can't see many other CEOs that I would cheer on to do a hostile takeover mm-hmm. of a platform yeah. like that. But he's going to do some cool things with it.
Okay.
Like, a couple of things the bots on Twitter yes. are freaking awful.
Yeah.
Like they're everywhere mm-hmm. and they make life a little bit miserable. And so that if he can cut out some of the scammers and the bots,
yeah.
that would be amazing.
Well, I saw like this whole Johnny Depp and his ex-wife thing that's going down. I saw a story that they said of all the comments on it, 11% were from fake accounts.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just insane. So I don't know if it's, you know, people like,
it's our enemies trying to stir up.
I was going to say, what do you think the reason behind those bots
are? Yeah, like Russia has bot farms that just go out and try to sow discontent within all kinds of stuff. So they can get you messed up in politics. They can get messed up in economies. And okay. if they can kill you on social media, they don't have to do it with guns and bullets, you know?
Sure, sure. And I saw a quote by Elon, you know, I'm not verbatim, but something along the lines of, I hope my worst enemy is still on Twitter yep. because, you know, and can say what he wants about me because that's what free speech is all about. Absolutely. So, is that his biggest reason for taking this over or what do you think?
So he's got this sort of like meter of injustice. And when something's really crooked and really wrong mm-hmm. and he can do something about it, he usually does. Even this whole thing, like environmentally friendly electric cars, he wasn't a big environmentalist, but he saw sure. an injustice that he could do something about. And so he tackled it. So a lot of the political people want him to take a side. He's just doing smart things wherever he goes. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm a fanboy of him, so it's hard for me to even,
it's understandable.
This is what
though. I see. Yeah. Well, I mean, someone, and he's outright admitted, I think he has Asperger's as well. So, you know, I'm sure he's hyper focused, but he is a super, super smart guy
sure.
and way, way above his, you know, past his time, ahead of his time.
For sure.
And it's exciting to see what, you know, he could do possibly with some of his fortune, because, you know, obviously people are going to say, oh, well, $43 billion, you know what else you could do with that money? It's like, well, you're getting on him for spending that, but what about your government leaders? And they're spending much more than that and wasting a lot of money here and there.
Yeah,
and
you'll get 100 opinions on what you should do with your money once you have it. Mm-hmm. And they weren't around like to, you know, to get you to the point where you had it. So their opinions aren't real.
Exactly.
Real weighty.
And truthfully, the person that's holding that checkbook is the only person that opinions matter.
Amen.
So, you know, do what you want to do. Hopefully he makes it a better place for all of us. So real quick on this other list, and we'll get into some more, you know, Elon stuff, but Jeff Bezos, mm-hmm. we all know, and half of his money has gone to his wife or his ex-wife now, who is one of the richest people in America strictly from that. The third richest is a guy I'd never heard of, Bernard Arnault, who owns, you know, a lot of these luxury companies and whatnot. Number four, might have heard of Bill Gates. Bill Gates, it's crazy, is not even the richest person in his own state. That goes to Jeff Bezos, both in the state of Washington. And then number five, you got Warren Buffett, who I didn't know Warren Buffett owned Geico.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
either.
But he is like Berkshire Hathaway and different organizations like that. And he's just a great business person. But we're real like kind of quirky guy. I think he drinks like something like 10 or 12 Diet Cokes a day, which, you know, that aspartame in there. Yeah. I say avoid that, but hey, the dude is outliving a lot of people and making a fortune.
Smash a lot of
yeah,
people.
What, at the tune of $127 billion.
Yeah, he gets to drink all the Diet Cokes.
He can do whatever he wants. So he's doing well. Any final thoughts on Elon or Tesla or any of that?
You know, it's been played out. Like that's all, when I got back from my trip, that's all people wanted to talk about was Elon. Mm-hmm. Just kind of take a breather and see what comes of it. It might be amazing. It might suck.
What would your be? Because I don't know much outside of, you know, the basics of the Tesla cars and you've showed me some of the Starlink stuff. What is something that maybe you would like to see him do in the future? Or maybe his organization.
Well, what I like most about it is because he's such that libertarian center of the road person, mm-hmm. he can put pressure on any industry just by making a comment on Twitter. Like he could put three words together and upset a complete industry. So
to the moon.
Oh yeah, exactly. And so like he could crash a stock yeah. by blinking at it. Right. So with that kind of ability, he can, when he sees that injustice, he can comment it. Not only him, but the people who support him, like rally in support and mm-hmm. can make big changes happen. So let's just say there was a flood somewhere.
Sure.
Right. And we needed to bring awareness and bring money to it. All you have to say is, hey, let's help blah, blah, blah. And there would be billions of dollars that would immediately go. So the humanitarian, the philanthropic side is going to be amazing once this guy gets situated.
Okay. All right. Well, let's we'll stay tuned because it's as the world turns and
sure.
not just sports, but the world and the rest of the crazy United States. So thank you guys for joining us. Remember to visit our page. We have the Bob Stoops autograph football that will be auctioned off. I'll tell you what, we'll pull the winner on Thursday. We'll pull it on Thursday night. So as long as you have your name in there by Thursday afternoon, we'll enter that into a drawing and we will pull the winner. And then we will have a little bit of a pre NFL draft show for you on Thursday night. So for Joe, I'm Justin. We will see you guys on Thursday. Everybody have a great.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.